from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week we're going to build on last week's episode, which is about the Fosway 9 grid and just the learning technology landscape, but have a more philosophical view of it. So don't switch off, right? When I say that word, you just got to stick with us because I think we're going to talk about something that I think is quite interesting, and I know that Nigel does. And it's about this idea of discrete technologies to serve particular purposes, like learning technology versus technology we use at home and other types of technologies we use discreetly, like say marketing technology stack. Does this serve us well? Do we really need to have these discrete areas of technology at a time when it just feels like things are converging? And yet we hold on to these sectors, these labels, this, oh, you couldn't possibly do that unless it had learning technology written all over it. Well, why do we do that? Is this worth exploring, Nigel?
It is worth exploring, Martin. And I think the answer, and because I'm sitting in a university at the moment, is the usual answer. It depends. You can build a whole career on those two words, I've learned. It depends because... On the one hand, there's something special about learning technologies because in some ways they quote other technologies, they build on other technologies, they explain other technologies. So they're a kind of slave to other processes and they illuminate other processes. So you can say that there is a discrete role and that they should be separate because of that. But on the other hand, increasingly, where we go is driven by consumer technology, but the big beasts, consumer technology and huge enterprise technology. And there's a market trend to steal the best ideas from those and twist them to serve our needs in corporate learning. So if you look at that Fosway report, one of the trends is that the big enterprise suites are what you get if you're trying to build some kind of facility for learning. You take what you're given. You take Workday, you take Oracle, whatever it might be. You don't get to choose because essentially they are all encompassing. And I think that's true. We also look at technologies like Slack is very close to WhatsApp. WhatsApp is actually used often in a learning context. So that some of the things that we are familiar with in the real world cross over into our work life and into our learning life. YouTube, you can describe that, well, can you describe that as a learning technology? It is. It's also a stupid cats climbing up trees technology and a gaming technology and what I have for breakfast technology. So it's all encompassing. The technology is not important. It's what you do and how you use it. So I think that there is definitely a convergence. And I think to take a purist view and say, ed tech is a thing and it should never be diluted is wrong. On the other hand, to say there's no such thing as ed tech now, we're being conned and people are trying to do it for marketing purposes is also not true. Because there are learning purposes that drive all sorts of technologies, like some of the adaptive technologies that are looking at what you do and adapting and giving you what you need. Now that's kind of workflow stuff, but nevertheless, that is a learning purpose built into a technology deliberately. So it depends, Martin. That's my considered view. What do you think?
I think it's worth just taking a step back and having more of a think about it, because I think that we accept what we are given. So we work with... in certain sectors maybe and functions, and we then are accepting of the fact that because it is L&D or it is HR or it is talent management, you go to the market looking for an HR talent management or L&D technological solution. Where and we as humans, I get why we do that. But what you said was actually there's kind of some functions in there that are specific to some of these areas. But actually, just take a step back from that and you realize that you open yourself up to a whole new world of other technologies.
Yes.
And maybe you can revisit how you see your discrete technology area for your function and look at that through that lens of, well, what else is out there? Because I think there is convergence, but what's interesting at the moment is that people, well, I'm hearing of organizations that are just using other technologies.
Yeah, I think it's true. I read a blog post about a distributed startup, a staff were all over the country. And the guy said, you know, we needed good tech, but we couldn't afford to buy expensive tech. So they built an ecosystem for the company based around WhatsApp and Slack and so on. Really freely available tech, Google Docs, you know, they used the Google Suite so they could live work on documents. They were using Zoom. So things that are in the consumer space, the enterprise space, and are kind of happy in either. And he said that once they'd worked out the elements that they needed, it just worked. You know, people could flick from one to the other seamlessly, and they were working very, very efficiently. And the net cost, it didn't cost nothing, but the net cost was a fraction of what it would have cost to have bought some big system that would have done it for them. So I agree with that. I think you can make something have a different purpose simply by the way you use it, because the technology is agnostic and generic. And it doesn't care, really. It really doesn't care how you use it. Mm. So that is a very exciting element that you can extrapolate down to learning. All the tools out there that people are very familiar with in their day-to-day life can be spun and given a different kind of functionality if you look. And in some ways, if you don't look and take the easy way out, which is simply to go and buy something that's very expensive, you often miss the trick of working with what is familiar. And the great thing about all these consumer technologies is everybody uses them. You don't have to run courses on, well, I think we should get used to WhatsApp. You know, this is a very complicated term. It would be a joke if you said to people, do you need to know how to use WhatsApp? You just use it. So therefore, to translate it into the work context, zero lag time. You're up and going in 2 seconds. So there are some advantages. But you're right. I think you should step back and you should really think about what you're trying to achieve. Focus on purpose and never start with a technology. Start with a problem, work out how you will solve it. And eventually a technology pops out. The problem is that if you talk to the vendors, it's the first thing. And that's always wrong.
Yeah, and I think we should wrap up. But my other concern, especially in big organisations, is it's not just the vendors that would say that. It would probably be the procurement people, because the process is very weighted towards kind of certain ways of doing things. And also it might be that the IT team is also kind of in that way of thinking too. Mm. So it might be that you might want all the things you've just said, but actually you find that that's not how the rest of the organization sees it, and especially the people that you need to influence see it. But I think, you know, is it worth thinking about? That's how we started it. I really enjoyed what you had to say about that today. And I think we should make space for ourselves to think about technology far more broadly.
Yes.
And not get too sucked into the labels that this is ed tech, this is learning tech, this is what you need to do that job. I think, you know, as a customer, we should be always stepping back, looking at, as you say, what needs to be done and then look at how it could be done and what's on offer to make that happen.
Perfect place to stop. Martin, great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks, Nigel.
Bye. From scratch.